kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Sharing in the Word, and we're calling our teaching today, Without Me, You Can Do Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And I want to base this word to hopefully encourage us from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We know this chapter very well, which speaks of the true vine. And I'm really going to be preaching from verse 5, but I want to lead up to this, which I think is important. And we'll take this up from verse 1, which says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Well, we're basing this title today, obviously, from verse 5, which clearly says that without me, you can do nothing. Now, it's interesting that there are a lot of church people today, and those that call themselves Christians and believers, but they don't necessarily grow in the vine. They don't really understand the vine. They don't really understand that we have been grafted in to this vine in which to bear fruit. We're told in verse 1 that Jesus is the true vine. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser. So the dressing of the vine, its production of fruit, where it's pruned and cultivated and so on, comes from the Father. And many Christians, they don't really fully understand this. You see, many come to Christ because Christianity is the right thing to do, or we're supposed to be a Christian nation, and it sounds nice and respectable. It can have a social life to it. It makes me feel good because I go to church on Sunday. But you see, all of that is not enough, as clearly is shown here. Because he says, every branch in verse 2 in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So we have an analogy here where he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So the potential and the branch is there. It's grafted in, but it's not producing anything. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many respond, many walk for a while with Christ or make the right noises and everything and clearly reveal that they're a branch. They have the potential to bear that fruit, but sadly they don't. They refuse. And eventually that branch has to be removed. And you have to remove these branches, these non-productive branches, or these dead branches, because of growth, for more branches to be produced. They get in the way otherwise. And he says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So we get a clue how the branch can start to bear that fruit in season. And it bears it because of the word that is spoken. In actual fact, the Lord refers to this twice with regard to the word. He says also in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So again, there's a great emphasis with the word of God. And that is how we abide in him, because without me, he says, you can do nothing. So we have to be taught then how to abide, and not only to abide, but how to bring forth that fruit. And the only way we know and understand that is the words that he speaks to us. That is why I say so often that we need the anointed word, because the Holy Spirit has come to teach, to show us, to speak to us, to make us fruitful. So the word is absolutely paramount in order for this vine in which to produce this fruit. Now, Christ is referred to as the vine. So when you go and you buy a vine, you can go to a nursery or wherever it would be. When you buy this vine, you have to obviously plant it, but you plant it in the right place. And very often it needs to have sun pretty well all day if that vine is really going to produce fruit and it's going to be fruitful. But not only that, it has to be nurtured, it has to be fed, it has to be watered, cultivated, in other words. And so God does this. He works this through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. He being, of course, the vine, the true vine. So our Heavenly Father, who is the vine dresser, he gives all the supply, he gives all the necessity of which this vine will grow. And of course, Christ is in the Father and the Father is in Christ. You cannot separate the Godhead. They're all one and they all agree together. And so we find that our growth is obviously because of this. You see, God works in us, and our connection to him, our being one with him, obviously brings this fruit. And this is why it is essential that we abide in this vine. What do we mean by abiding in the vine? Well, it simply means, which so often I'm saying, it is staying with it. It is enduring to the end. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work and that change within us so that we bear more fruit. And there come seasons in our lives where it seems as though God starts to cut back. He starts to cut back that dead wood. He starts to cut away where we're beginning to question, or we're beginning to doubt, or we're finding ourselves getting in a rut with God, just going through the motions. You see, these are the way that God cuts spiritually into our life so that we bear new fruit. We bear new growth. We've got to have that season of fruit that comes forth, because as we know, by the fruit we are known. That is how the world sees it. But he clearly makes this obvious that without me, you can do nothing. So fruit is our inheritance as believers. And each grape that is produced in that bunch has seed in it to potentially to reproduce. So the fruit in many ways is our inheritance. But he clearly reveals that you can do nothing without me. And that is why he makes us reproductive, spiritually speaking. Because his words have life. And his word is the seed. God's word is seed that's sown into man's heart. And the reason that God has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, in which to reproduce, in which to put seed within man's heart, is because it is our inheritance. And that without me, you can do nothing. So he gives the church, he gives the believer, he gives the fivefold ministry, the anointing, the potential in that abiding in which we can reproduce. And our reproduction of bearing fruit comes by the sowing of the word of God. That is the spiritual seed of the grapes. That is how it's done. That is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. But the Lord clearly says in verse 5 that without me you can do nothing. Why? Because he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So our abiding, our union with Christ makes us fruitful. Now, our abiding actually works both ways. He abides in us and we abide in him. So you cannot just rely on Christ, who is fruitful. He is the fruit of the Spirit. Those nine fruits, they are in him. They are him. That can never be reproduced in us unless we too abide in him. It is a two-way thing. And for this, of course, to happen in our lives, we have to remain, we have to stay with it, we have to yield to the Spirit and do what he asks of us, and he will do it. That is why I always keep saying to encourage you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is as we yield over, it's as we let go, he is that vine, he is that fruit. We're allowing, if you like, the fruit of the Spirit to take over in our lives, to make us fruitful. It's when we resist, or it's when we doubt, or we want to do it our way, that hinders the fruit of the Spirit being produced in our lives. And the mercy and grace of God will work, and he'll prune sometimes very, very hard, possibly a bit harder than he normally would do, because he's seeing there's some problems. He's seeing we are resisting. We're not yielding as we should. So sometimes the only way in his love, grace and mercy is going to cut it that extra harder, because eventually it's going to bring that real fruit. That's, I can refer that to what it says in the book of Acts in chapter 16, that we must go through much trial and tribulation of which to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes those trials can be pretty hard. The furnace can be very, very hot. But you can be well assured that God is pruning hard, because more fruit is going to come in your life. You're going to be fruitful. Because without me, you can do nothing. And that's the reason why. He has to show us at times, and even in trials, and even if he prunes us very hard, he's doing it because he's trying to teach us, you can do nothing without me. And that is what he's doing. And that is why he weakens us. This pruning weakens. This pruning outwardly makes us feel very vulnerable. We can feel as though we're going under, or we've lost it, or whatever it would be. But stay in there, because what he's teaching you through this, which is the essence of this understanding of the true vine, is in verse 5, that without me you can do nothing. Now the question raised this evening is, can you do nothing without him? Or are you still able to do things without him? That is the question. And only you can answer that, or sometimes the Holy Spirit has got to reveal that. And you see, he's going to work and work until we come to that place where we can do nothing without him, because that is how Jesus walked with God. The Lord had worked with him to bring him to a place where he was totally dependent upon his Father. And it's going to be exactly the same for us and the church, the overcomers in the last days. If we believe we're going up in the rapture as those wise virgins, then we have to be totally abandoned to him, knowing that I can do nothing without him. I can't even get myself to that place. Only he can do that within me. That's why we're called as overcomers. That's the whole idea of it. And so, some branches, it may appear, have nearly fallen off, but just get enough sap to produce a little life. And those sort of Christians, they push God as far as they can. They take chances. They want the world, but they also want God. And they can push God sometimes to the limits. There are professing Christians who do that sort of thing, but what they don't realize is that they are simply a branch that's nearly fallen off the vine. And there's just enough sap to still produce a little life. Sometimes in God's mercy and grace, he cuts their life short simply to save their soul. But there are those who act and live like that. But God forbid that we should. We must know that we are firmly, securely grafted in into Christ, standing upon the rock of Christ, All of that is absolutely important for our faith, for our walk, for our confidence with God and in this life. But there are those, sadly, who live like that. And I've seen them. I've seen it happen over the years. There are some who are not with us. God has taken them home, cut their life short in his mercy and grace to save their soul. May that never be of us, in his mercy and grace. So, the question is, what are we drawing from his life? Because this should be our experience. We should be aware that we are drawing our strength, our joy, our peace, our security in him, our faith, everything. It's a drawing from his life, the same as the branches are drawing life from the vine as the branches grow up, grow out through the sap. And it's the same with us. So are we drawing from his life? We're going to look at a few questions in this. Well, you will be fruitful if you stick with his word and that prayer life. They are the two things that are so important for the believer. I know I've preached on this many, many times, but we need to remind ourselves again of this. We have to be faithful to his word and to prayer, both individually and corporately when he calls us. Those two ministries are so important if we are to remain in the vine and to bear fruit. Obviously, the word is our watering. It is our feeding. The same as the vine has to be watered, it's got to be cultivated, and it's also got to be fed as well. And so spiritually, it's exactly the same for us. The word of God feeds. It feeds us. It feeds our faith. And along with prayer, prayer also nourishes the vine. Prayer protects it. Prayer keeps it from disease. Prayer keeps it fruitful, bearing much fruit and not withering up, and so forth. So you see how wonderful this analogy of the vine, and how when we put it over to the spiritual, how we see how God works with this. Well, secondly, also looking at this, you will be faithful if you are faithful to his body and his fellowship. And again, we need the body. That is why we're baptized into the body. And not only for that, but for fellowship with him and each other. So there's an experience that we're to have with God where we fellowship with him, but also with the family of God. It cannot just be on your own. If you simply have fellowship with God on your own, you will become peculiar. You will not be what God wants you to be. In fact, people who just want to do it, it's between me and God, they become a bit like an ornament that's just placed on a mantelpiece. They become a showcase. And that's all they are. But you see, when we're in the body, baptized in the body, we're also introduced to the family of God that's still on the earth, as well as, of course, the hosts of saints that are in heaven, who are also our family as well. And we will all meet up in glory on that day, and we will see just how great and how big God's family is. But we get an insight of this now with our fellowship. And that's why the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. So we experience something of God as our Father when we're together in fellowship. What I always believe and experience is that when we fellowship with God, we start to get an awareness of the diversity of our Father and how he works and how he speaks and how we're all different with different gifts and abilities and encouragements, the gifts that he sets into the church. All of that is absolutely essential for abiding in the vine. In other words, we need all of that because he says, without me, you can do nothing. Well, another thing as well is that we need to be faithful to the consecration of our life. In other words, the consecration that he expects of us to be set apart unto him. In our case, we're set apart unto his holiness. He does not share this holiness with the world. The world does not understand the holiness of God, the separation of God. They're not interested in it. And therefore, we are not to share it. We're not to put it or force it upon other people. We're not to force it on our family. My husband or my wife, whom I'm believing for and confessing for their salvation, you're not to force it upon them. The work of salvation is always a work of God through the Holy Spirit. What he wants of us is to believe and to live our life as an example through the power of his Spirit. But we have a consecration that's set apart under him. In actual fact, the Bible says that your husband or your wife, who is not saved, is actually consecrated by your faith, by your consecration. So that is on their life also, which is interesting, which the word says. But it's not something that we are to expect or put upon people in the world. And sometimes we do it. Sometimes we judge the world by our standards and what God has done and is doing in my life. How can you judge? Not that we are to judge, but we do this sometimes. Why, they're blinded. They don't see. You do. So we should never expect that standard from them because they're blinded to it. And we have to be on our guard with that sometimes. We have to be on our guard when we hear things of the world or what the government does or laws that are passed or whatever it is. It's because they're blind. They don't see God. They're not understanding God. You are. You walk on a higher level, on a higher plane, a higher revelation and teaching and knowledge and understanding. Way, way different to the world. And we've got to remember that one. Well, we're also to remain faithful to the walk of faith. We're talking about drawing from his life. We're drawing this out from the vine. And the only way we can walk this walk as an overcomer is when we're drawing. It's being drawn into our lives through Jesus Christ. So we are to walk by faith. Well, of course, we know that one. We have much about it. But God is still working with us to walk by faith and not by sight. And in order for that to be done, he has to sometimes cut away those dead branches of unbelief in which new growth can come forth, growth of faith, which is needed. And that's why sometimes God will prune us quite hard, simply to get to our faith. because we need a faith to stand in these last days. We need a faith to stand in this last lap of the race that we are in. Things in the world is moving so quick now. It is so rapid. What is unfolding? What is unfolding in technology? What is unfolding in politics? And the new age, the new world order that's coming. Everything is rapidly moving and changing. Sometimes it's a job to keep up with it. But that is why we walk by faith. And you can be well assured that whatever you face each day, you have the faith to stand, to endure, to overcome whatever the trial, whatever the situation. God has promised that if you abide in him and he abides in you. That's the question. Are we drawing from him so that your light shines and that you are a witness in this world of darkness? Again, you can only draw light from him if he is in you. It's not going to work otherwise. So we have to draw from his light. Because I remind you again, he says, without me, you can do nothing. So you can't have that light. You can't even witness unless you have me. You're drawing from me. That is the essence. That is the key to evangelism. That is the key to witness. That is how they will know that we are disciples, because they will see that we are with him. We walk with him. We don't walk with a denomination. We don't follow a man or a minister, which so much of Christendom does today. No. We are like the early church, like the disciples. They knew that they were disciples. They knew that they were followers of Jesus. And it's the same with us. They will know we follow only one. And his name is Jesus. And that is what the world must see through you and I. Through FGA and all those that God is raising as overcomers in these last days. That is our true witness. That is our true light that shines. There are false lights we have today. And those lights are not reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, there's a lot of those lights in professing Christendom. And we know that there is a light that will come to the world, an angel of light. We know the world is getting ready now for this leader. Everything is being set now by the powers of darkness, as the powers of darkness work through governments and so on. It's all being staged. It's all being prepared. But that is a wrong light. That is a false light. And many will think that that will be the Messiah. He is the one, the deliverer, coming to save this world. Because this world is in chaos. This world is lost. And I don't have to tell you that, you know, you listen to the news and so on. This is a global problem, because we are seeing with our own eyes the falling away now. So we continue drawing this light from him. And if we're faithful, then the call is over your life. You have been called from the foundation of the world. God has taken the initiative. God has moved on your behalf. And as you walk with God and as you continue to mature and grow, you become more and more and more aware that God had mercy on me. He called me. He gave me that gift of faith in which to be able to confess Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. It didn't lie in me. And you become aware from that more and more as you draw that life, the life of Christ, from your life. You realize we have been saved by God's mercy and grace. And that attitude and spirit bears much fruit in the believer. It is humility. It isn't arrogance or being haughty or pious in that sense. It's a lowliness. It's a poverty of spirit. That poverty of spirit, we're told, causes us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so that's what we should be about as we draw life from the vine. And that life in you and I is the same as it's the life in the branch, that sap that causes it to grow. And it's very interesting that with a vine, those branches can reach out a long way from the vine. And they have a way of tangling and moving and intertwining on things. So it's not just a straight line in that sense. It's able to move round corners, angles. It's able to climb upwards and downwards and to branch out, you see, which reveals to us that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is not limited to any place or any person or any nation. It is a message for all. That's why it's the good news of the gospel. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Without me, you can do nothing. He is making us totally, completely dependent upon Him. And just let the Holy Spirit do it. When things seem to be happening in your life, or you don't understand, or it's not making any sense, or whatever it is, you can be well assured God is saying, without me you can do nothing. Just let go. I won't let you go under. And sometimes we have to let go intellectually when we're trying to assimilate or understand a thing in our own strength and in our own mind, but we're doing it carnally. We have to just let go. And in time, He will reveal the spiritual side of a thing. Or when we're going through a trial where it just doesn't make any sense. This shouldn't be happening. And why is it? Again, without me, you can do nothing. It's simply trusting Him that He is in control. And just letting go so that He takes over and that He works that fruit within you and I. The more we let go, the more fruit we're going to bear. And the more that world out there will see and be convinced that we walk with Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy and grace. Lord, as You have shown us, we can do nothing without You. It is the greatest privilege that You are removing all these obstacles, all these false props in our life, in order that we are abandoned totally, completely upon You. Father, that is the greatest privilege any saint can have in this life. And Lord, we just ask that You will have Your way in our lives as You work and as You do this.
Against all disaster, let coast and sea, far